Today, I just want to encourage you about the life of Christ. When you have that life shows. That life shows. Because you see, you have to walk in that life. You have to talk in that life. You worship in that life. You sing in that life. You dance in that life. It's not a dead life. It's not like a statue life. It's not like an iron life. Those so stick and rigid. That's why many of people does not understand what it is to be joyful in the house of God and to be full of life. Because why? Over the years, religion has really hit us really hard on our brain. It's affecting our mind. And religious folks does not like life. Life of Christ get them irritated. Life of Christ get them angry. They look at you when you're joyful and it actually get them mad. They don't want to praise. They don't want to sing. They don't want to rejoice. They don't want to dance. Because why? Religious is already set in your mind. You're supposed to stand up like a big statue in the house. And you're not supposed to raise your hand, nor dance before the Lord, nor praise the Lord, nor worship the Lord. Because after all, you are a religious person. But you see, the life that is flowing right now is in Jesus Christ. The life that we have in Jesus Christ, He walks, He talks, He prays, He dance, He rejoices, and He do things that you're never accustomed to. You do things that you would not even understand. When you look in every nation of the world, there is a flag. Every nation there is a flag. You know the flag of your nation. And if you're praising God in the house of the flag, some people have a problem. You know, why they have a problem is because of lack of knowledge. If the nations have the flag, what about the flag of worship and praise? Raising a banner and exalting the name of the Most High God. Do you see why the enemy has totally taken away the flag from the church? Take away the voice from the church. Take away the worship from the church. Take away the life from the church. But I don't preach about church. I preach about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I talk about a relationship where you're going to do things that is not religious. Or you're not going to religiously do it. So you better pull away this old mindset and break down all this tradition and begin to know the God that you serve. You walk with Him, you talk with Him, you dance with Him, you sing with Him, you praise with Him, He moves with you, He is not dead. If you do not like to worship and dance and praise before the Lord, I can assign you to the church who is dead. You will be very comfortable with the dead. So therefore, in order for you to stay and frustrate yourself with a lively church, I want to tell you, join the dead one. And you will look like them, walk like them, praise like them, and say nothing because they are dead. But if you're thinking about this house, you got to change your mind. And begin to know the church that is alive today is those that have live worship, live praising. I mean, full of life. You know, look around in this city, there are a lot of dead churches. Because why? Their worship don't have no life. You know, they rejoicing don't have no life. They do not love life. And they do not want life. And anybody that goes into the church, they have to make sure they become dead when they reach at the door. Because why? It's a dead church. So live people are not welcome. Same like how we don't welcome the dead ones here. Live people is always welcome here. So get accustomed. This is going to be a lively house filled with the praises of God, filled with the worship of God. God, people are going to be alive in here because we know when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a good love life. Amen. Amen. My sister would sing after. Sister Monica, you would sing. But today let's turn our Bible to John chapter 10 and verse 10. Are you alive? My God, not dead. My God, not. He is a. And your God ain't dead. He is a. So if you're married to a dead husband, it's time to raise him from the. To what? Right. Because what you have? Resurrection. Oh, praise God. Let's stand as we read verse 10 and 11. It says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come, that they might what? And that they might have it more. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gave his for the sheep. Father God, today, if it's one thing I want to be to you, it's to pour out your life into this earth. I want to be a life giver, Lord God. I want your life to make somebody's life different. I want to give the blessed life to others that you have given me. Because you come into my life to give me life. Holy Spirit, I want your life. Fill me with your life. I pray, Lord God, today, that every dead person in this house today, I pray resurrection life to come upon them, oh God. I pray resurrection power to raise them from death to life. Holy Ghost, have your way today, Lord God. We want to thank you for the life of Christ today. We want to thank you for the Holy Ghost today. We want to give you all the honor and all the glory and the praise. And everyone says, amen. Say amen with life. Amen. Amen. Be seated in his presence. Hear what Jesus says. Jesus said, I come to give you life. And to give you an abundant life. As I get in the presence of the Lord, I say, God, what do you want me to tell your people today? He said, talk to them about life. He said, many of us are running away from the life of Christ because we think it's a religion. And we don't want to go to another religious house. So, by running away from the life of Jesus, we are missing it. Because why? Jesus is a person. And he wants us to have life in him. But he said, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. I'm making a plea to each and every one of us this new year. Try Jesus. Try his life. Take him seriously. He is not a figure of your imagination. He is real. Jesus wants to give you a better life. He wants to give you an abundant life. He wants to give you a life of freedom and peace and joy. He wants to give you a life of opportunities. As a matter of fact, he wants to bless your life. He wants to give you a healthier life. He wants to give you eternal life. And you're constantly running away from such a great life. Choose Jesus. Drink from that fountain of life. It's you've been drinking water that is polluted too long. You have been listening to pollution in your spirit that's killing your spirit. It's time for us to say, Jesus, I need your life. He said, come to that fountain of life. There's a vast supply of water, life water. You see, his fountain will never run out from life water. He said, there's a fountain filled with blood. You know, the life of the flesh is in the blood. That fountain drawn from Emmanuel's vein, where sinners plunge within that flood to remove all their guilt and stain. When condemnation comes to your life, it pollutes your life, depresses your life. It makes you feel so guilty. So many of us are walking around with condemnation and guilt. That's not the life that Jesus Christ come to offer you. He comes to give you a better life, an abundant life. He comes to give you a life of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. If there's a place you meet some sad people, it's in church. Jesus wants to give us joy. His life is so joyful. You can dance and you don't have music. You can pull a tune and you can't even sing. You can really and truly enjoy life in Jesus Christ. Many of us refuse to come to Jesus' life because why? We think party is life. We think dancing is life. And I try all that. We have been trying all sorts of things looking for life. But believers, you'll never know what life is all about until you try Jesus. Do you know what God did in creation? He breathed into man the breath of life, and then man become a living soul. Do you know that God is the strength of your life? Why are you running everywhere looking for life? You think that only when you get that man you will have a life. I got news for you. You think when you get that job you so desire you're going to have a life. I have news for you. It's only in Jesus Christ you will find life. I love Brother David. David knows where life comes from. He knows his life exists in God. He knows God is the very foundation of his life. He knows what kind of life he had until he was picked out of many to give an abundant life. He was in the backside of the desert when God sent his servant to anoint him so he can have a better life. Because why? He was there worshiping God, praising God, looking unto God. And God says, see your heart, David. I see your love for me. You're making time for me. He said, I'm at your father's house. But he never expect that I know where your life is and I can find you. So the father began to say, he is the one, anoint him. He is this one, anoint him. She is the one, anoint him. Just like many of us, we already see the one who you think God would anoint. But I want to tell you, he looked for those who know he is life. And he will find them wherever they may be. Do you know why people are picking on you? Because God has already marked you to live his life. I like what John says in John chapter 1. Many are called, you know, and few are chosen. You are chosen to really impart life to others. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning. And all things were made by Him. And without Him, there was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. In Him is life. There is life in Him. Many of us are being distracted in our natural life. And those distractions look so real. We go around and we begin to see the distraction in every way, in every form. And we think we have life when we have a cell phone. We think we have life when we have iPods. Everywhere you sit, you see people checking their text messages. Everywhere you look, you see young men plugging the CDs. What do you think they're looking for? They're looking for life. What do you not realize? All these noises is affecting their heart and their hearing, their mind, their focus. And they think, well, if I have this, I have life. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way you can get life apart from Jesus Christ. We look around and we see beeps and we hear beeps. And we hear buzzes all over the place because this cell phone can go in beeps and buzzes. Some of them can flash and you can see lights and sounds and you can see, you pick it up and you see messages on the screen. And some people spend all the day, every minute you see them with a cell phone. Even when we are traveling, they were saying that you're allowed to walk with your computer, but you're not allowed to walk with your Bible. So I buy a bag and put my Bible and I say, it's my computer. Because I can log on at any time. Your life comes through Jesus Christ. The songwriter says, sing them over again to me. They're wonderful words of life. Do you know Jesus knew a lot of things was going to come to try to block out his life? He knows about the computer, the internet. He knows all about the information that is in it. He knows all about the TV with all the nastiness on it. All the dirty curses that coming through. The singing and the music world. God knows about all these things. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to come. But when I come to you, I come to you to give you life. I come to give you an abundant life. Your job can give you life. And that's all you sit and worry about. That's all you talk about. Our houses can give us life. The very children that you're killing out your life for, treating us like when we are lesser than, they still can't give you life. So don't give up your life for them. I know I won't get no amen, but I know I'm right on. Jesus is the one that comes to give us life. Your car don't give you life. Your houses don't give you life. It's only Jesus Christ. You need to get the life in Jesus Christ. He said life in the blood, life in the word, life in his very name. He says he's the river of life. You get life in the Holy Ghost. Why don't you ask for the Holy Ghost if you want to have life? Life in the Spirit. Listen, he promised to even satisfy you with long life. What more you want? Do you know he promised to feed you with life because he said, I'm the bread of life. He says the very strength of your life. He will give you strength to make it in life. He will show you the very ways of life. His life is more than meat. His life is more than silver and gold. His life is more than riches and toll. And yet you're forfeiting his life for looking for all these things that you can't take with you when you die. These things are not evil. But many of us are being deceived with all these material things. And it's robbing many of us of our time and our focus. Some of us think that we're born to work. All of a sudden, you know, I am so busy, I cannot even get to church. Since when you become so busy? When I look around and see the earthquake, a lot of them die on their job. They was in position. And so many of us say that I am busy. I cannot take time to come and give God his praise and his honor. I don't have no time. Maybe a next time. What you don't realize, you can be intercepted wherever you are. I'm just reminding you because sometimes we get so stupid. And don't know who is in charge of your life. Do you know Jesus Christ is in charge of your life? He can press the button at any time and say, life is over. Even when you think that you're so busy, do you know he can press the sick button? He can press the pause button and put you on house arrest. He controls every aspect of your life. Don't come and sit down and telling God, this is my life and I'm going to do whatever I want with it. Ask God to forgive you because you don't have a life. You don't have a life. Your life does not come by the abundance of things you possess. Your life does not come from the outside. Your life comes from within. That's where God put your life in. Inside of you. Many of us, God don't even want our money. He just wants our life. Many of you sit down and say, I'm not coming to church. Because why? All they want is money. God is not after your money. God is after your life. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And he don't want part of your life. He want all your life. Many of us are too busy now in this life. Many of us are too tired now in this life. And all we ever think of doing is tipping God. We don't want to make total sacrifice for God who sent his only begotten son to die on the cross to give us life. Many of us are so careless with our life. We think we can do what we want and there are no consequences. We think we can do as we like. We can go where we want, do what we want. Say what we want, and there would not be no consequences. Believers, don't be deceived in your mind. Sit today in your seat there and tell me, if you don't have the time when your life is going to end, and you don't even know within the next hour what is going to become of your life, you better don't think you're smart. You better don't think that you're on top of things. You can have your agenda book. You can have all your organizers. You can make all your appointments. But I want to tell you, God is in control of your life. We are getting mixing up with choices. God says, I have given you life. and I've given you death. He said, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. He even tell us to choose life. He's trying to tell you, make a choice. It's better for you to choose life. You don't really, deep down inside, you don't even have a choice, you know, because he holds the key. But still, because he's such a loving father, he says, choose life. You see, many of us do not realize that God is in control of our life. He laid down his life for you. He said, he that findeth me, findeth life. All wisdom, knowledge, and understanding comes from him, the source of life. When you don't have no sense, you would sit down and say, well, you know, you don't have to really and truly go to church to get life. You don't have to do this to get life. Believers, God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, he is the very source and the essence of your life. When you disconnect him from your life, you don't have a life. It might look as if you're enjoying life, but you don't have a life. It is only God can satisfy you with good life. And he's going to show you his love and his deliverance. So when I look and I say, God, look at how you kept my mother clock ticking for 90 years. He kept her alive for 90 years. And he's still holding that ticker in the very palm of his hand. Many of you might think she's too old to live. But since when you get the choice over that? We have been seeing that many in the hospitals now are killing people prematurely. They have no desire. They have no revelation about the importance of life. And yet you will put your life into their hands. When you're sick, instead of running to the altar and say, God, I need my life back. I need to know you. You are the source of your life. Many will miss church to go to the hospital to put their life in a man that does not even understand life. Pastor, I can't come to church today. I am battling with some sickness. We are really and truly missing it when come to life. Many of us have put our confidence in our doctors, our lawyers, our husbands, our wife, our children. And they too get life from God. They too depend upon God to keep them. Listen, when religious people in the synagogue disputing with Jesus in Mark chapter 3 and 4, they were disputing with Jesus and said, Jesus, is it good on the Sabbath day to do evil, to save life, or to kill? You know, Jesus was such a wise man. He knows how religious people can get distracted. Because why? They're so into religion, they don't even understand what life is all about. That's why I want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because religious people just talk a lot of stupidness. And they just do a lot of stupidness. And what you don't realize, sometimes we talk like them. Sometimes we talk like them without not realizing that he comes to give us life and to give us more abundantly. It's time for us to say, God, this man had a withered hand and this man was healed. And verse 1 said, He said unto the man which had the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. He said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? Because there was disputing, God brought life to a man with a withered hand. Transformation come to that man. And instead of religious people begin to bless God for a life that have been straightened out, they get offended. Do you know many of us is doing that today? We really don't want to see our life straightened out and the life of others straightened out. But Jesus, wherever he went, he was doing good. He was giving life to all that come around him. You know why? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He's the only one can take you from the grave. He's the only one can call you forth from death to life. Even when people bound you up and they tie you up and they put you in a grave and they think you're going to never come out, they talk you down with dirt. They criticize you. They mock you. They laugh you. They spend hours on the phone to talk about you. But when Jesus' life come around you, he will call you from the grave and he said, come forth in the name of Jesus. Why is the resurrection and the life? Man is always trying to cover up man. Man is always trying to take away one another's life. This world is a chaotic place if it was not for the life of Christ. And it's time for us to begin to say, Lord, I need to drink from the fountain of life. Oh, for years we have been drinking polluting water. It has been killing our spirit. It has been killing our relationship. Many of us are dead on the inside because the bread of life is not being eaten. We don't even make time to eat the bread of life. But every day we want to eat food to sustain. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, when you eat me, he said, you're going to have a good life. You're going to have a sustaining life. We have to begin to renew our mind personally about life. Because as I begin to study this word, revelation, knowledge come to my heart and I begin to cry. You see, we grew up under this British system. In our hearts and in our mind. I remember at early stage, as young children, we used to leave from Ashton, where the school was, and used to go to Clifton. Every time it was British birthday, we will go there with a little flag, a British flag, from morning to hot sun, because they say that the Great Britannia is passing by and the Queen is on it. Believers, we never see the Queen. We were positioned there, standing straight like a statue, because it was Commonwealth Day. Commonwealth. They have the wealth. We only have the common. They pass by. And if you see, you know, like we stand up now at the Clifton Arbor now waiting for Great Britannia. Great Britannia passed down in LaSalle. We don't know if it's Great Britannia. We don't know if it's great, but they say, wave your flag because it's passing. So a ship used to pass. And my knowledge now, it could be any ship. But I'm trying to tell you about the mindset. How these subjects really and truly brainwash us, that really we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we don't want to change. But I gonna change. We used to sing songs and worship the life of an English man and a woman called King and Queen. We convinced that England had a good life. Are we convinced they're honorable, they're superior, and they're greater than our life? And when we speak of the English life, we just used to worship the English language. And we used to make sure we have to learn to eat with knife and fork, like the British. And we go to the churches and we sing like the British. We took all the British training in our life. Do you know, whilst we stand there, here, God save our gracious Queen. Long life to our noble Queen. God save our Queen. Send a victorious, happy and glorious, long to reign over us. God save, oh Queen. We also used to say you don't remember the poem, but it is so imprinted in my mind. We used to say, rule Great Britannia, rule the waves. Britannia never, never shall be slave. They're going to rule the earth. Believers, these were strongholds that we have to fight to change our mindset so we can know that Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, come to give us a better life. When we get that teaching about the superior Great Britain, we now think in our mind, the only way we're going to ever make it in this life is if we work until we drop. And if we buy material things, you know, and if we try to do things to make us feel happy, that is life. We never try to strive for excellence, to know that God can use us as individuals in this earth. If we dare make ourselves available, we don't go before the books in school and say, I am learning my lesson so I can move where I am to higher grounds in the earth. I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. We never go with that mindset and mentality. We go thinking, well, I will never make it. I'm just getting a little education to make it in life, because you know, anytime God going to use somebody, it's Great Britannia is going to rule, and they're going to rule over us, and we will always be subjects. And now Jesus Christ is saying to us, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the source of your life. I am the hope of your life. I am the strength of your life. I am the very joy of your life. I am the very essence of your life. I am the very lover of your life. I am there to give you a better life, a good life, where you are able to succeed in this life. You are able to be the head and not the tail. Where you are able to rule the waves and rule the earth. Where you'll be able to do great things in this life. And we sit and we come to church doing as if you doing me a favor. And anything that God is talking to you about in this life, you think if you do it, pastor gonna get blessed. So you sit down there with your stinking dirty attitude. You will always stay that way. And Britannia gonna rule over your life. Not my life. Because I have Christ in my life to make him the head over my life so that I can be a difference in this earth. I am working to excel my life. I am working to get a better life. I know who is in control of my life. And when I salute the source of my life, don't you dare stop me because I want to go places in life. It's time for us to really shake away that slave mentality and begin to make choices for good life. Because why? The devil knows about the power of Jesus' life. And so the devil has set up a whole set of life givers called, druggies. And these people are actually trying to influence our children to get into the drug life. When those children get into the drug life, they get transformed in a lifestyle of destruction. Transformed in a lifestyle where they will never amount to nothing. They will have all the money to buy all the name brand, to buy all the tattoo, but they don't have a life. They don't have a life. You see what the devil have been doing? He have homosexual to begin to spread pollution in life. And Jesus is speaking to us today. And he said, you go and tell others about my life. Be a witness. Go and testify of my life, what it can do for you. And Jesus will do something significant in your life. He will take you from debt to life. He will take you from the pit to the palace. He will take you from a nobody to a somebody. He will take you from the garbage heap. And when Jesus done that, he done that so you can have a testimony to go out and tell others that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. But many of us do not want to be a witness. We don't want to really give out the life that Christ offers all of us. And Jesus is saying the devil is strengthening his stick on the earth. And they're really drug pushers like never before. They're flowing with the money. They're convincing. They're influencing our children. We just sit down and watch the devil taking over the life of all those that are loved and near to us. We see the devil polluting our children's minds. We see them in the educational system. We see them in the net. Work. We see them all over the place, and the church just want to pretend that they have a life and come in here without not focusing that they're in the kingdom for such a time as this, and it's to make life difficult for the devil and his angels. But guess what? We are too busy. We have to work so that they can able to pay the bills in life. God is not your source. You want to be your own source. And so we are enslaved in these things. And we are wrapped up in these things that does not give true life. This year we got to change that mentality. Jesus Christ is coming soon. I mean, if you read Matthew 24, you begin to see the times that we are living in. We begin to see in the last days before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we'll begin to see earthquake and pestilence. We'll see nation fighting against nation. We see all sort of destruction on planet earth. He said, when you see these things happen, he said, look up for the redemption joy at night. Are you looking up? Do you begin to look and see what is going on? And yet you are so preoccupied with yourself and myself and I? Jesus is saying to us, he said, in this world, without me, you really can do nothing. When I begin to look, even if you want to see 80's story, just turn your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 5, and you begin to see that you know the story in Samuel. Let me just show you before I finish. I want to just show you what is going on. It's nothing new. There is nothing new under the sun. There's absolutely nothing new. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. When a country is totally sold over to the enemy, the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to many people. We know that the land is full of idolatry, and when our life become polluted in the nostril of God, we too we're going to have chaos in our life. What you don't realize, all that took place is God shake. That's all. He just shake himself. The Bible say, and the Philistine took the ark of God, and they brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistine took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon, and they set it by Dagon. And when day of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they take Dagon and set him in his place again. Upon all the floods and the hurricanes, they still refuse to turn their heart to the true and the living God. The Bible said, when they rose on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was falling upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. What took place? Dagon had. The head of Dagon, and the arms of Dagon were cut off from the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. For the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Asher, and he destroyed them and smote them with emerald, even Asher and the coast thereof. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. When you look even at Haiti, it is so sad. Where the earth shook, nobody threw a bomb. They can't blame Bin Laden. No terrorist invaders. There was no political coup. They can't blame, you know, secret agents come in and set a plot. They can't blame not one single soul. It was an earthquake. And even the president, the head of the palace, when you look in the news, you see the structure of Dagon just turn one side. The head of Dagon. This is a country where 80% they say Catholics, but voodoo is the number one religion. They refuse the life of Christ. And so the enemy wants to keep the nation the poorest place on planet earth. Believers, when Satan come into your life, it will look as if you're rich, but you're poor in spirit. It is serious to fight against the ark of the living God. It is so serious when I see men, woman, boy, girl will stand up and think they can fight God and win. Believers, if God really truly shake himself, you will just go under the rubble and with your foot kick out and your hand cook out, begging and pleading for life. Pray let God not put you under the rubble. Because our behavior time, we deserve to be under the rubble, but it's the grace of God. These Philistines were fighting against the ark of God. They were fighting against the presence of God. If they were really thinking that Dagon was the ruling champion, they think that Dagon was a powerhouse. Some people believe in witchcraft more than believe in God. Everything, they seek diviners. They seek witchcraft. They go to palm readers. They do all sort of nastiness with Richard. But I want to tell you today, Jesus' power is superpower. We're going to see God shake himself in this year because God is bringing order. God is bringing alignment. The things you used to do and get away with, don't try them this year. I said, don't try them this year. Because God is bringing order. He is bringing alignment. When the hand of God was heavy upon the Philistine, they it's because the disrespect for God, the dishonoring for God was too much. They were mocking God. They were looking to the wrong place for life. You know, God was available to give them life, but they didn't want that life. They want drugs. They want adultery, fornication, 3 and 4 women, 5 jobs. They want to isolate themselves from the believers of God. They're too busy doing all sort of foolishness. But I want to tell you today, don't pray. You better pray for God to have mercy upon us. Because I tell you, if he really starts to shake himself in your home, in your life, in your marriage, in your relationship, in this church, outside of this church, in your job, wherever God decides to shake yourself, I want to tell you, you go suffer the consequences. God will still remain strong. He will still remain powerful. Now these days we have a sweet religion. And every time you open your mouth to tell you that God is a judge. He's a God. He's a disciplinarian. He's a God that stands for holiness and righteousness. He's a God that is merciful. But he's a God that wants to be honored, respected. He wants to really and truly be appreciated for who he is. When you start to preach there, people say God is not like that. You can sit there with your plastic message. But I want to tell you, if Jesus Christ come back again, he's not going to be a baby in a manger. He's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to be the rock of our salvation. He's going to be the judge of all the earth. He's going to come back, but not as a little babe in a manger that we wrap in on swaddling clothes every Christmas. You're wrapping him all over again. When he comes this time, he's going to stand with authority and power, and he's going to have the scepter in his hand, and he's going to say, righteousness exalted in my kingdom, and he's going to stand with authority and power. And we will just collapse before him. Because why? God is not mocked. God is not mocked. This is the time to organize yourself, to change your attitude, to change your character. What it is keeping you from this good life, this better life, this pure life, this holy life, this righteous life, this true life. Would you sit down and let an overnight piece of sex make you rob your life destiny? Would you allow doing all the little nasty things that God is talking to us to get rid of? And you allowing that to rob you of this great eternal life, of this mighty life, of this prosperous life, of this successful life? Why do you want to live a rebellious life when you know God will always have the last say? When God will always stand, he says, word shall not return unto him void. It will accomplish that it was set out to do. He's calling us today, and he said, come to my table, he said, I want to give you life. I want to give you a better life. What you're taking outside there is nothing to compare with the life of Jesus Christ. I was living a reckless, terrible life. But I want to tell you, since I started for the kingdom, since my life has been changed, the longer I serve him, the sweeter it goes. I am living a real life. I am living a pure life. I am living a holy life. I am living a true life. I'm living a contented life. If you can't match that, don't talk about me. Because I know his life is real. I know it's time for us to come into alignment. It's time for us to come into divine order. We have been doing what we want, saying what we want, telling what we want. I want to tell you, you are not in control of your life. Don't get it in your dreams. Don't get it in your vision. Your life is not your own. You are bought with a price. And that Jesus Christ has paid a price for your life. Your life was one entangled with Satan. Your life was ensnared. Your life was a trap. And when Jesus Christ came into your life, he turned your life around to give you a better life. So in either way, you were never in control. But try Jesus. Try Jesus. Life is important. The life of every soul is important. We don't want to be distracted. Too many people are under the rubble crying out right now. Too many people have feet locked. Their minds have been locked. Their hands have been locked. Too many people is crying out from under the rubble, but nobody's listening. Nobody's listening to hear if there's still life available for them. It's time for us to be life givers. It's time for us to say, Lord, I've been selfishly living my life. Do you know sometime at the end of the day you look around and you feel so empty? You've been busy from your get up until 12 o'clock at night. And for that whole day, the source of your life has not gotten your attention. At the end of the day, you lie down there and you wonder why you're having such bad dreams. You wonder why you feel so tired. You wonder why you feel so depressed. You wonder why you're feeling so weary. It's because you're not connected to the source of your life. You're looking for life in the wrong place. Jesus said, I am the source of your life. The words of life come from this Bible. You go to on your computer every day. Do you take this word every day and say, Holy Ghost, download some revelation to me? My life is empty. I'm seeking, but I can't find satisfaction. You've been sitting there waiting. If only the love of my life called me now, I would tell him to come over. Cause I feel so empty. And he can't even call you because he's in the arms of another woman. How could he call you? So you're waiting in vain. But if you pick up these words of life, where the healing waters flow, you will receive life. You see, you know when men and women do not have this word of life on the inside, they spew out serpentine spirits. Their mouth becomes serpents. When they bite you, poisonous. When they curse you, poisonous. Because why? They haven't eaten the bread of life. When I start to eat this bread, my life has changed. The things I used to do, I don't do them no more. The things I used to say, I don't say them no more. There was a transformation that came to my life. My language changed. My walk changed. My talk changed. Because I eat the bread of life. It's the reason why God is telling you, eat the bread of life. Because why? He knows when we are hungry and we don't have no life on the inside of us, what comes up can shock you. What comes up shock you. Some things we see the children are behaving, it shock you. Don't be shocked. They don't have no life in them. What is on the inside of them is satanic. And that's what comes out. From the abundance of the mouth. The word has to shake us and purge us. Many of us pretend that we are having life, but we are just shell. Why Christians are so unhappy? Why Christians are so mean? Why Christians are so bitter? Why Christians will sit and gossip for hours? No life. No life. No life on the inside. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come. And drink of that fountain of life that is going to cause you to become a river of life. You see, when my water comes out of me, it gives life. It brings healing. It brings peace. I'm in your life, and every time you come around, when you finish, you feel like committing suicide. I beg you, please run from me. Run! I tell you to run. Because when Jesus' life is in you, when you leave his presence, you have life. You have an abundant life. You have a great life. You have a joyful life. You have a wonderful life. You have a peaceful life. Oh God, do you know why there is life in my home? It's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. You see, when Jesus people meet together, there is such a joy. When Jesus people connect together, there is such a love. There is such a peace. If you're really eating the bread, my sister is waiting for healing. She will get it. My brother is waiting for his deliverance. He will receive it. You're waiting for your breakthrough. You will get it. Because why? Life is in the house today. Come into alignment today. Come into your life. Come and say, God, I'm tired of pretending that I have life. This message is for only those who have been really and truly pretending. You might look good on the outside, but inside you're dead. You're a Lazarus on the inside. You're bound up in grave clothes. You're tied up in grave clothes. But hear what Jesus says. I am the resurrection and the life. You want life? Try Jesus. Who wants to get that life today? I can tell you, since I stand for the kingdom, since